Read you in the name of Christ again this evening. One last time, we've come together to find God, to seek God, to know Him more, to understand Him more, to see His heart, and to know His burdens. And I trust that God will be with us. I asked the question that I asked the first evening. We've been going through a week now. Some of you remember the question, and I asked the question again to all of us. Is God still with us? God has been here. God has spoken to my heart. God has spoken to us. What will we do with Jesus? We cannot meet Him. We cannot talk about Him without having responsibility. Before we get into the message for the evening, I would like to, if you would stand with me as we pray again. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to You again this evening through Jesus, and we thank You for what You have done in our hearts and in our lives. And tonight we come before You again. Lord, we come to You to know more of You, to understand something in Your Word and something that You want to tell us tonight. God in heaven, we just pray this evening that You would be upon us. We ask that Your presence would be here. We ask that Your presence would be so real to us this evening that we would bow and bend before You, Lord, and that our hearts would break, and that everything about our heart would be revealed and open to us. God in heaven, I pray this evening that You would show us ourselves, show us our heart. Lord, we know that every problem that we have is a problem of our heart. And I pray, oh God, that You would help us to see really what is in our heart this evening. I pray for these friends, brothers, sisters that have come. I ask God that You would speak to us. Lord, You know the message that You have laid on my heart and burdened me to preach this evening. And God, I just ask, oh Lord, that You would somehow be able to help us to understand it. I ask that You would not allow the raven from hell to come and snatch the seed away, lest it would be understood. I pray, O God, give us understanding and help us, Lord, to give us conviction. O Holy Spirit, would You come and would You be here and would you speak to us in the threefold work of the Holy Spirit? Convict us and guide us and comfort us tonight. O Lord, we thank You so much. We ask now, Lord Jesus, that You, by Your own power, would bind the powers of darkness again, that they could not be here this evening. We pray that there would not be any hindrances and no distractions. God in heaven, we give it to You. We pray that this next 45 minutes and an hour, O God, that You would speak in a deep way to us. Help us to sense Your presence and to hear Your call. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, a greeting in the name of Christ. I'd like to preach a message to you this evening that God has been burdening my heart with. I've entitled the message this evening, When the Dogs Bark. When the Dogs Bark. Some years ago, a businessman in the Midwest walked into a sheriff's office. He was a prominent man, he was a known man, he was a man in the community that was seen as a man that was useful and had done many, many good things. He walked into the sheriff's office and he said, 23 years ago, I moved west. And while I was in New England, I murdered a man. He said, I've come to turn myself in. The sheriff contacted the sheriff in the New England state where this had happened and confirmed that indeed 23 years ago there was a murder that happened that had turned cold and they had never found the person. They sent the U.S. Marshals after this man in the Midwest. And when they came to him, they said, we don't understand this. Why did you turn yourself in? Why did you bring this to light? You're a good man that has done a lot in the community. You're a man of renown. People appreciate you in this community. And this is what he said. He said, when I walk down the street and someone bumps into me, I think, oh, they caught me. See, whenever that happened, the dog started to bark in his conscience. His conscience started to bark. And he was living with this for 23 years. And finally, he could not, the dogs just kept on barking in his life. And my friends, this evening, I don't know your life, but I know mine, and I know how mine had been. I've had dogs bark in my conscience. That conscience has barked in my life for many, many times. And I want to share something with you tonight. There's dogs barking. Dogs have bark in many churches when the gospel is preached. And the dogs start to bark. The conscience starts to bark. And we try to shut those dogs down. This man finally, 23 years later, he couldn't handle those dogs anymore. That conscience just could not, he could not. He was tired of always that conscience that was just barking whenever he was or something happened that made him think about that. You know, as I move among God's people across the country, the Anabaptist landscape, in the last number of years, I've noticed something. There are many, many people that have two lives. They have the seen life and they have the secret life. They have the seen life. It's what people see, but then there is the underground life. Then there is the life behind the scene, down under. That is often why there's defeat in our churches today. I want to share the burden of my heart and of God's heart with you. When the dogs bark. We had a dog at home. And when I opened the door, he was lying at my door. That's where he lay. And whenever I even at night, didn't matter what time of the night, when I would crack the handle and he would hear it, he would start barking. You know, there are doors in our life that when we start to open, there's dogs that start barking. And I have no illusion that you didn't hear some barking this week. I think some of you have heard some barking going on. You know, it's hard to shut the dogs down. It's hard when you open that door and when you crack that door to my secret life, the dogs start to bark. I know what it is, and I'm going to share my own testimony this evening, Lord willing. But there are doors that we don't want to open, because every time we do, you know, when Jesus comes knocking, Jesus has been knocking this week. Jesus has been knocking maybe for years in hearts. He's been knocking on the door. You want to open, but as soon as you hit the latch, you know, sometimes someone knocks on our door and we go to the door, we don't know who it is. When Jesus comes knocking, the Bible tells us that Jesus knocks. Jesus knocks in Revelation 3. Jesus knocks on the door. And when that happens, we go to that door, and when we see it's Jesus, you know what happens often? When we sit in church, we sit under the preaching of the gospel. All of a sudden, Jesus knocks, and then the dogs fire up. And we hear the dogs barking. I don't know if the dogs are quiet tonight. I don't know, but I expect there's a reason that God wanted me to share this. Oh, you know, we forgot something. There's something lying at our door. Our conscience is barking. I trust that by the time this evening is over, that we have dealt with the barking that is going on. The message this evening is about hidden sin. Hidden sin. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. I want to look at a scene here. I want to look at the way of Cain. Reading in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 4, And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. There was sin in Cain's heart that caused wrong feelings towards his brother. Let's continue to read verse 7. Why is thy countenance? In verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Something started barking. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto Cain, unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelled in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Looking at a man that sinned, Cain. You know, Abel sacrificed with blood. Cain sacrificed with works. God did not honor Cain's sacrifice, but he honored Abel's sacrifice. And Cain had something in his heart. Cain had two lives. He had something in his heart that no one knew. It was lying deep, and it was covered. Cain's sin, one of the most hiding sins in the human family. You know, the first sin that was ever committed was not murder. The first sin that was ever committed was jealousy, and the result was murder. Jealousy always kills. It always kills. When jealousy comes into a church, it is one of the most hiding, devious sins that we find in the human family. Jealousy led to murder. He was jealous over someone more righteous, and that's often how it is. You know, whenever one of the first impulses, if we just flip back to Genesis chapter 3, we see something in verse 8. This is the scene where the first sin was committed. In verse 6 it says, And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit which God had said she shouldn't, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Verse 8 it says, And they heard the voice of the Lord God calling in the garden in the cool of the day, and the dog started to bark. And it says, And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. You know, one of the first impulses after we sin, anytime we sin, the first impulse after sin is always to hide it. It's to hide it. It's, you know, when people sin, sometimes they quickly look. They quick check. Did anyone see me? And sometimes when before people sin, before they reach for that thing, before they go there, they look around to make sure that no one will see me. When we sin, the first impulse after sin is to hide. Consequently, the human family has a lot of things that are underground and that are hidden. And my friends, in order for us to be free, in order for us to be free before God and to meet our God at the end of this, at the end of our life, we're going to have to confess our sins. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to clean us from all unrighteousness. There's four things that happened when Cain sinned. Number one, in verse 7 it says, chapter 4, verse 7, it says, sin lieth at the door. Oh, you know what? That's not where we want sin to lie. We don't want sin to lie at the door. We want sin to be hidden. We want sin to be back in the closet. Back in the closet. But God said, sin is going to lie at the door. We want to hide it. Number two, we find it in verse 14. It says, from thy face shall I be hid. There's something that happens in the relationship between you and God when you sin. And a third one we find in verse 15. The Lord set a mark upon Cain. And the fourth one we find in verse 16. He went from the presence of the Lord. He went from the presence of the Lord. I want to look at these points this evening. I want to see sin number one. Sin lieth at the door. People have found many things lying at the door. I found UPS packages. The Lazarus lay at the rich man's door, the Bible tells us. The lame man lay at the door of the temple. There's many things that lie at the door. But see, it's at the door that people are going to see it. It's at the door. If you go to Latin America, some of you have been there. If you go to Latin America, it is very significant and very important that it is nice and shiny at the door. I've been in some of those huts where it was a dirt hut inside, but there were ceramics laid right at the door on the outside of the door. There's something significant about the outside of the door. We like to show the beauty. We like to show nice things. And when you go somewhere, you go into a house, where are some of the first things that you will see? You're going to go looking for that door, and when you get to that door, there you can see what is lying at the door, what is there. Some time ago, my wife, we got a call that some friends were coming. We didn't know they were coming. And they were calling and telling us, and they were within 5 minutes of our house, and they wanted to just tell us. You know what my wife told me to do? She said, get the broom. And you know, where do you think she told me to go? Not back into the bathroom and to clean the bathroom. She said, out by the door. She wanted me to go outside and sweep the floor right there by the door on the outside. Because things come back to the door. Things come back to the door. There was something lying at Cain's door. That's where people will see. That's where it's exposed. You know, sin in the heart, sin in the closet, and it's up at the door. It's going to come back to the door. You cannot sin successfully. Every sin that you commit, you're going to face again. It's going to show up. There it is again. Oh, we think we hide it. We can hide it for years, and I did. I hid a sin for many years, and I'll tell you tonight. I thought it was all taken care of. It was all away. No one knows. It was between me and God. It was a sin. But you know, every sin that we commit, we're going to face it again. Remember, you will face your sin again. And this is what is troubling to me and what is a burden on my heart. In our own, some of the best hiders in the world are the Anabaptist people. We can hide many things behind our coats and our clothes. And you know, we can look right and act right and seem right, but you know, whenever the preacher starts preaching, the dog starts to bark because there's something underground, there's things hidden. Oh, I remember one night One night that in a revival meeting where I was preaching, this comes to me now. I gave an invitation, and there was a young girl that I saw was under tremendous conviction that evening. The dog was barking in her life. And she finally stood up and grabbed her mother's hand, and she came out. She wanted her mother to come with her, and she walked down here. And just as she walked out, she looked to her father, who was sitting close to the back, and she motioned him to come. And daddy came out, and they both came down, the girl in the center, mom and dad, and there they stood. The girl was weeping. Many came that night. They went downstairs. There were so many. There was only a couple left up here and the children. We went downstairs, and people were crying their way back. Many dogs, the dogs were barking that night. And you know, they were down there, and finally, after they prayed through, the people prayed through, there was such a holy conviction, such a wave of holiness there. They wanted to make things right. They said, they came to their pastor and said, I'd like to make things right before the church. And he said, and they asked the pastor, couldn't we just go back up again? It was down in the basement that and on the outside. And so he asked me what I thought, and I said, let's take care of it tonight. You know, when the dog barks, we need to shut the dog down. We need to get that conscience clear. There's many people that don't have a clear conscience. That young girl came through that night and became born again. We came back up and reconvened, and that service went till, I forget now, was it 10:45 that night? And people got up, and they just wanted to pour their life out to the church, the body, and confess things. And we were almost, I thought we were finished. And then this man that walked down with his daughter stood up. He was in the last bench in the back. He stood up, and he just stood there and started weeping. And he couldn't talk. And finally I asked a brother to go back to him and stand with him and put his arm around him and support him. And finally, when he could talk, he said, you know, I should have been the one that walked down that aisle and not my daughter. He said, I want you all to know the dog was barking right there after everyone else responded, and he didn't, but he walked down with his daughter. You know, that child led her father down there. He stood up and he said, you know, I want to tell you, church, I've been a hypocrite. I've been in pornography for years and years and years, and I'm in bondage. And he just wept, and he said, I want to be free. Oh, the dog was barking that night in his life. That conscience was barking. Oh, we think, no, I will never tell anyone. I've told myself that. I'll never say it. I'll never tell anyone. But remember, every sin you commit, you're going to face it again. And if you don't face it here, you'll face it at judgment. We'll face it before God someday. You know, we had a dog, another dog. His name was Sambo. He would lie at our door. And at night he would run out. He would go running around. I was over in our village heading for the airport early one morning. And when I stopped in at the bank. I wanted to get some cash out of the ATM machine. And when I pulled my little pickup in there and stopped there and went to that little machine, and all of a sudden through the corner of my eye, I saw something coming. And I looked. And there came my dog, Sambo. I said, Sambo, go home. And he took off and he went. But you know what Sambo would do? He would be out running at night. But he'd come back. You know where he'd end up? At my door. You know why he ended up at my door? Because it was my dog. Sin, every sin and any sin we commit is someday going to come back, and it's going to lie at my door, and there it is. And there it is. You know, the sin of Cain did not lie at Abel's door. It didn't lie at Adam's door. It didn't lie at Eve's door. That sin came back. God said, it's going to lie at your door. We cannot sin successfully. God does not clean sin. You cannot sanitize sin. If it lies at your door, it will bark. It will bark. You know, one of Satan's most binding chains is hidden sin. Oh, we think we can hide. Cain carried the responsibility for his sin. We can blame many people for our sin, but you know what? Judgment Day, it's not going to be that person caused me to do it or that person. It's my sin, and I take responsibility for my sin. Some years ago, in a western city, two men were in an apartment. They were in this apartment, and they had decided that they want to go and rob a service station. They carefully left deep into the night. They opened their door, walked out, closed the door, and walked down the alley, down the street. When they got to the service station, they broke in the back door. They went in there and they stole a paint sprayer, some toolbox, some paint cans, and left. No one saw them. And they went back out, up the alley, up into the apartment, closed the door. No one saw them. A couple hours later, they had a knock on their door. They opened the door, and there stood the policeman and a service station owner. And the policeman said, "I understand that you broke into the service station down the road on this certain street." They said, "No, we didn't do that. We didn't do anything like that." And they started arguing with the policeman. And finally the policeman said, "Sir, we know that you did it because one of your paint cans was leaking, and we followed the paint can right back to this door." You know what? Sin will follow us to our door. We can never sin successfully. You know, the adulterer may hide his sin until judgment day. The thief may cover up and never be caught. Wicked hearts, evil thoughts may remain undercover, unexposed. But someday it's going to come back to my door. And there it is. A little over a year ago, a man from a very conservative church in Kentucky, this is an open thing, was at church Sunday morning. And something was happening. There was a dog starting to bark. A dog had been barking in his life. His conscience has been barking. And that afternoon, he called the sheriff of his local county. And he said, 9 years ago, I poisoned my wife and killed her. Four little children in the state of Missouri. He had lived in adultery with one of the hired maids. And in order to hide those things, he poisoned his wife and killed her. But you know, that Sunday, I really wonder what was preached in that service. I wonder, but the dog started to bark. That dog started barking. The sheriff came out, picked him up, took him in, got the story. You know, that conscience was barking. 9 years of trying to quiet the dogs in his life. My friends, that's a difficult time. I know how that is. And I don't have any illusion that we don't have any dogs barking tonight. Maybe they were barking this morning. Maybe they've been barking for 20 years in your life. You know, that sin was lying at his door. Let me tell you my experience. I committed a sin that I thought it was okay for me not to tell the church. It was fine. I could live with it. There were times when I felt, I went to God and I said, God, please forgive me for this horrible, ungodly sin. And you know, I was okay with it. But there was one preacher in our church that whenever he would preach, he would often talk about confession. And whenever he would preach about confession, something started barking in my life. I remember as a teenager, before I was married, I could only go so deep, and then I heard that dog barking again. That conscience was barking. And I remember one time getting on my bicycle and riding over to the bishop. And I went in there. I was just, the dogs were so loud anymore in my life. I almost thought that others are hearing them. You know, that's what happens with us. There's times when we are hiding things, we are so afraid someone else is going to feel it. Let me say this. If you are here tonight, and if we are here, and not everything, there's something hidden in our life. It is very dangerous for you to be in the presence of Holy Spirit-filled people. They will see right through. They sense it. Oh, I think people sense it in my life. I went over to him and I told him what I did, and I said, it's just been bothering me, and I wonder, do I need to go to the church? And he said, well, you know, I think it's really just between you and God. I don't think you have to. And I remember getting on my bicycle and feeling the freedom, and I rode out the lane and down about a mile to her house. And I was rejoicing because I didn't have to. But you know what? That night the dog starts to bark again. You know what? I think he was wrong. Because the Holy Spirit was convicting me, and I needed to go back. See, when we sin, we hurt the body. If we're a part of a congregation, we're a part of a body. We're a part of that body. Whenever we sin, we hurt the body. And we need to go back to the body. I struggle with that. We got married and I kept on going. And every so often, I heard that dog barking again in my life. And I struggled. We were young married, and God gave us we wanted children, and God gave us a beautiful little girl. That little girl looked like a little Indian, had dark hair, and she was a beautiful little girl. We waited, I think, maybe 3 years, or I forget. And I remember coming home and taking that little girl. We were so happy. I remember kneeling in front of the love seat and taking her in my arms, and my wife, we were kneeling there. And I gave that little girl to God. That little girl started not gaining weight. She started crying a lot. She would often cry for hours, wouldn't sleep at night. We couldn't hardly get her to bed, get her to sleep. Something seemed to go wrong. There were times when I heard that barking dog again, that conscience barking in my life. And finally, we went to many doctors and many hospitals, out to Arizona, out to Iowa. We spent thousands of dollars trying to find out what is wrong with our little Judith. One night, we had just come home from the hospital. She was laying there, just skin and bones, looked like a little starving African child. We couldn't do anything. The doctor said, take her home and love her. And her skin was turning black. And she was laying there in the crib on that night. And she started crying at 6:30 in the evening. And she cried till 5 o'clock the next morning. And that night, we tried to sleep. And finally, my wife and I and my widowed mother-in-law, we finally got down on our knees at 3 o'clock. And we were on our knees for 2 hours. Just crying out to God. And that night, the dog started barking in my life again. Our child was dying. We couldn't do anything. And we were crying out to God, and I was trying to hold on to God and trying to tell God, ask God, what is wrong? And that night, as we were there in front of that little sofa, and God started speaking to me, and that dog started barking, and it barked, and it got louder and louder. And finally, I remember praying. I finally poured it all out, and I said, God, it was 10 years earlier that I had done that sin and committed that sin, and I was carrying it all along, and that dog would often be quiet. But that night it got loud again, and it barked and it barked, and I finally said, God, I'm giving it all to you. I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. My heart broke that night. God broke my heart like he had never broken it before. I remember being there, and we couldn't pray anymore. We just wept. The little girl was still in her bedroom and was just screaming at the top of her lungs. Her head was just going back and forth, blood running from her head as she was wearing her skin to where it was bleeding. And there we were on our knees, and we couldn't find no doctor to help us, no one in the church to help us, and no God to help us. And there we were, and just crying out. And God showed me that night, that dog barked in my life, and God was so clear to me. God, you got a hold of me. I'm finished. I told God that night, I said, God, I'm giving it all to you. I'm going to go back to the church. I don't care what people think. It doesn't matter anymore. I don't care about my reputation. I want only you, God. That's all I want. I want to be free. After 2 hours of weeping and crying before God and finally giving up, and my heart broke and I gave up and I said, God, I'll go back. All of a sudden, our daughter was completely quiet. And I said, my wife and I talked. We couldn't see her, but we thought she probably died. We walked in. There she lay, and she was sleeping. I went to the church. And I confessed that horrible, ungodly sin. You know, when you confess your sins, don't try to hide it. Don't say that I failed. Tell your sin the way it is. Just the way God knows your sin. So that the dog won't bark anymore. And that day, when I confessed that sin, there's a load that rolled off my back that I'd carried for 10 years, and I never knew it was that heavy. But you know, that dog has never barked again in my life. A couple of months later, I got a call, urgent call from my wife to come home quick. Walked down into our basement where we lived at the time, and there my wife was holding this little limp little daughter, 3 years old, little Judith, weighed only 9 pounds. There she was. I knelt down, we wept, we cried, we kissed her goodbye, and there she left. And we've never seen her again. I wondered why she came. She never said daddy. She never said mama. She never had any type of quality in her life. She was only a crying little baby. But you know, I know why. On her gravestone are these words, a mission without words. I know why she cried. I know why she came. She came to help daddy. Because I was not listening to the barking dog in my life. And God was holding that against me. And God was trying to get my attention. And it took that little, oh, when I get to heaven, I long to see her again. But one of the things I want to see my Jesus. But then I want to see our little girl. We have another one there. I want to thank her for helping me come back to God. My friends, that's the conviction of my heart this evening. When there is hidden sin in our lives, it'll block our God from us. Someday that sin comes back to my door. There it is again. I was sitting in my office one day and one of the workers came in and he sat down. And I saw he was troubled. I didn't know what was wrong, and I asked him, what is wrong? He said, I can't work anymore. And I thought maybe they had a problem with some fellow worker. And he said, no. You know what was happening? There was a dog barking in his life that morning. It got so loud, he had to quit working. He just sat there. And I said, do you want to pray? He was in the church. He was a teenager in his late teen years. And so I said, do you want to pray? And he said, yes. And so I got another brother and we went to a room. And just when we opened the door and walked in, he just fell down on the floor and started just weeping uncontrollably. And I went down with him. And finally I said, just tell God everything. Oh, the dog was barking so loud he couldn't handle it anymore. There it was. Something was wrong. And I went down and I said, just tell God. And he said, I can't pray. There's something holding me back. And he said, go out to my pickup. Out in my pickup, under the seat, are two tapes. I want you to go out and get those tapes. I went out and got them. Prayed over them and asked God to rebuke those evil powers, two rock tapes. Let me tell you something, lest I forget to tell you. I don't know where you stand. I don't know. I'm sure you stand against rock music. But there's also something called gospel rock. There is no such a thing. God never mixes with the world. I took those tapes and I threw them into a big coal-fired boiler. I threw them in there, two tapes, and closed the door and turned around and started walking away. And when I walked away, I heard something. And I turned around to see long black fingers coming out of that stove and the stovepipe and wherever it could. It was just making an awful sound inside, like a huffing, grueling sound was in there. And it came out all over that area. Let me tell you something about rock music. I believe it's from the pits of hell. I believe it's from the devil. I also believe if we're listening to it, we're not going to make it to heaven. And let me say something further. I believe if we're listening to country music is an adulterated music. There's a lot of adultery in country music. I have yet to see one person that can listen to country music and be a follower of country music and that lives a clean moral life. And let me say to you tonight, if that's where you're at and you are a clean moral person and listening to that, I'd like to talk to you. Oh, that dog was barking. I went back in and I told him I have the tapes. And then he started confessing. He said, I've been living in fornication with my girlfriend for 2 years. Oh, God changed that. That dog was barking. And you know, he confessed his sin. He went to the church, confessed his sin. He became a beautiful child of God. Such a wonderful, wonderful servant of God. Useful in the youth group. Walking with God. I spent many hours with him. He would come to our house. He was almost like our son. And we would take the Bible, go down to the basement, and there we would study the Word of God, and I would teach him, and there we would pray, and God was just using him. Let me tell you another scene. A number of years ago, I was preaching in another state. And I was preaching. I don't know what the message was on a Friday night. God was working that week. The dogs were barking. Some of the dogs had been quieted down. Others were still barking. But unbeknown to anyone in the church, no one, the deacon. And I'm sharing this because it's an open thing. And these stories that I'm saying and that I share with you is because it's an open thing. And many of these people have told me, if you can use my experience to help other people, you may use them. Friday night, a number of people responded to the message. And this deacon was sitting there. He went home. I didn't know, but the dog was barking in his life. It got so loud, I couldn't hardly stand it. But he said, I could not respond because I had to go back and tell my wife and my family. I had a nice family, a number of teenage children, beautiful family. He went home, got his children and his wife together and said to his wife and children, he said, 4 years ago, before I was ordained, I went down into this certain city, certain town, and I got to a four-way stop. And there, when I stopped at the four-way, a woman jumped into my front seat, and we went to the motel, and I committed adultery. He was a broken man. He never told his wife. He never said it to anyone. He decided that if he's going to be in the lot for minister, that is a sign that I will never have to tell anyone. And he was in the lot. And he was ordained. So everything is fine, but that night, the dog started to bark. The presence of God is going to reveal everything. He that covers his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesses and forsakes shall have mercy. There's mercy for us. And there he was. He called the next morning and he said, I'd like to meet with you and the ministry the next morning. We met. The church didn't know it. Saturday night, we came together again. He wanted to tell the church. I asked him to come up. I stood beside him. I moved to the side and he stood there, their deacon. And he just wept and cried and he said, you don't know, but I'm here to tell you, I was in sin. And he shared what the sin was. And he cried and his wife was sitting back there and his children, the teenage children. My heart just went out to them. But you know what? That's the way to be free. That's much better than have barking dogs until we meet eternity. Oh, some sins go beforehand and others follow. Which way are your sins going? Have they already been there? Have they gone, or is there still some barking going on? I asked the church if they could forgive this brother. I got the whole church up. I said, if you have a feeling and a heart for this man, your deacon, and you want to pray, come up and stand around him and we'll have a prayer meeting. And you know, the whole church, I think the only ones there were the little children. They were all up here, everyone, crying, weeping, and we prayed for a long time. That's the way our service went Saturday night. But you know what? The dog never barked again in his life. That man is now sitting on the bench because of his sin. My heart goes out. My heart goes out to him. But the dog was barking. The dog was barking. Let me continue. Oh, may God help us. When the dog barks, we must do something. That's the Holy Spirit working in our conscience and telling us it's not okay. Because when we sin, we hurt the body. A little leaven leaveneth the lump. Oh, now I can see why there's been defeat. Why there's defeat. I wonder, is your conscience clear tonight? Is there nothing on your porch? Is nothing barking? Point number two. He told Cain, from thy face shall I be hid. Sin will hide God's face from us. In Isaiah 59, it says, have you ever wondered why God isn't close? Why is God so distant? Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Sins will hide God's face. From thy face shall I be hid. Sin will hide God's face from us. I've been telling you a lot of stories this week. There was a man, young married man, I think they had one child. I got a call from his wife one day. I didn't really know. I knew her somewhat. I didn't know him very well, from another distant place. From thy face shall I be hid. She asked if her husband wanted her to call. He would like to come and meet with me. And was wondering if he could come. And I said, sure. And we set up an appointment and he came. He was kind of a shy person, hard to communicate with. And when he came, I asked him what's wrong. And he said, well, he was a member of the church, communing member. He said, I have not read my Bible in 2 years. And he said, I can't pray anymore. He said, God is just very distant from me. I just cannot. And then I started talking and started asking him questions. And I asked him if he's ever had any moral failures. And he said, yes, I did. He said about before I was married, I think he said close to 10 years earlier, he said me and another girl in the youth group committed fornication. And I said, did you ever make it right? Well, I said, no, I never said anything to her. And I asked, did you ever go to the church? And then the dog started barking. No, I didn't. But he said, that's not my problem. There's something else, and I don't know what it is. I worked with him for 7 months trying to find what is wrong. And one day, one evening, I remember one time as we were sitting there, I asked him, I said, as you go down Interstate 77, and if a vehicle would come across the strip, the median strip, and would hit you head on and you'd be killed, where would you go? And he said, I would be going to hell. That's an awful thing to know and not do anything. I finally told him, I said, you know, if you want to be free, you're going to have to go back. The dog started barking, and I said, you cannot be free unless you go back to that, to your congregation. You hurt that church. You hurt that girl. You need to write a letter. Not good to go face to face. Write a letter. Confess and ask for forgiveness. You need to go to the church and confess. Oh, he said, I can't do that. I continued to talk with him. And finally I said, I will go with you. I will stand at the pulpit with you. But if you want to be free, that's the only way to be free. You cannot calm that dog down, that barking that's in your life. And finally he said, I'm willing. I'm willing to go. And so I called this bishop. We had a meeting, told him what, and he said, we're having communion Sunday. And he said it would be so nice if we could have all of this out and that he could go along to communion. And so he called the church together on a Saturday night. My wife and I went. It was quite a distance away. We went. I went up to the pulpit after the bishop opened the service. And I said, some of you have known that I've been working with this member of your congregation here. He has something he'd like to share. And I asked him to come. He came up and he broke down and wept. And he said, I was a hypocrite. I have been away from God for years. And then he shared what he did. And I asked the church, after he was finished, I asked the church, would you forgive him? And the church held up their hands. And I was ready to sit down. Many were weeping in the church. And I was ready to sit down, and the Spirit of God just spoke to my heart to open it up. And I opened it up to the congregation. Communion the next morning, and the dogs started to bark all over that church. And for the next hour and 45 minutes, I stood there, and I don't know that I said hardly any word. I stood there at the pulpit as I watched that church go through some of the greatest revival in its history. It was a holy wave of God that came through. People were weeping. Fathers and sons were being united again that had things between them. And before it was all over, three other people in that congregation confessed the same sin that this man was confessing. Is there any reason why there's defeat in our churches? You know, with sin in the church, we can never go forward. Oh, we can hide things. We can hide it. It's so easy to hide. But I plead with us this evening. If a dog is barking, that's God speaking to you. That's God speaking to you. That man was so changed. That man was so changed and walked with God. It was a beautiful thing. Often later when I would talk to some of the members, they would still talk about the changed life. But you know what? He hadn't done it for 10 years, but he was hiding it. Hidden sin will block us from God. Another thing that happens, point number three, is the Lord set a mark. The Lord set a mark. He set a sin. Sin will put a mark on us. Some people, it's not clear what that mark was that Cain got. Some think it was some trembling, that he would tremble, maybe like Parkinson's disease. Others think there was a ghastly countenance. Still another commentator feels that there was a horn that started growing out of his forehead. Whatever it was constant. Wherever he went, his sin, there it was. There it was. But you know, I'm so glad that God can forgive us. God can forgive us. We talked about the other night when I preached a message on what sin won't tell. I told you about the scars that it brings. But God can forgive us. We live in the day of grace. It's a wonderful thing. And I want us to know that if our sins are under the blood, they're under the blood. And that's a beautiful place to put the sins and have the sins. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. When we have sin in our life, God is able to cleanse us. But if the dog barks and there's something hidden, listen to what the Spirit of God wants to say. Secrets in our heart become burdens on our back. Sin will put a mark on us. Back to a scene in the West. There was a man in the West. Years ago, this farmer took his horses and went to the bank. He was going to the bank with his horses to get some money. But he never returned. He never came home. Next morning, the horses were standing at the gate. But the man was nowhere to be found. This farmer was having a quarrel with his neighbor, another farmer. When the police came and they investigated, they found out that there was a quarrel going between the two, and so they went to this neighbor, and they arrested the neighbor, but for lack of evidence, they let him go again. Some years later, they could never find the person. They never found out where he was. Some years later, this neighbor sold his farm and moved out of the area. Years passed, and one year there was a drought, and there was a pond on this neighbor's farm that he had sold. It got very dry that summer, and the pond dried up. And all of a sudden, they noticed, the people that lived there noticed that there was a skeleton of a man laying out there in the pond. He went out and looked, and then he got the sheriff, and they went out, and they found that there was a log chain around this skeleton's neck, and he was laying there, obviously drowned. They tried to find this person, this former neighbor. And finally, after some time of searching, they found him in a home for the elderly. He was dying of tuberculosis. And when they came in there and they said that, they asked him if he had thrown his neighbor and killed him and thrown him into the pond. And he said, no, he didn't do that. And then the sheriff said, well, we found a log chain around this skeleton, and it has your initials on it. He was denying it, but just hours before he died, the dog started to bark. And he confessed. He said, yes, I killed him, put a log chain around his neck, and threw him into my pond. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. When your conscience barks, don't push it away. God knows. The last point real quickly here. Don't expect to hide it. Don't expect that we cannot hide. He went from the presence of the Lord. Cain was a vagabond. He was a fugitive. He was a runner. The presence of sin blocks the presence of God, and that is such a sad thing. It sends us running away, far away from God. You know, secrets in our heart amplify Satan's power. Secrets are what causes Satan to have amplified power in our life. And so tonight, I've told you what I believe about hidden sin. And I don't know where we're at tonight. I want to tell you what God feels, what God thinks about sin. Turn with me to Joshua 7. I want to show you how God feels. How does God feel about sin? I want to look at a man here that had hidden sin in his life. This is the scene. The God's people had tremendous victory, and they just came back from Jericho. They marched around, and there was power of God there. And then they went to a little, God had said to Joshua, he said, now with the people, when you take Jericho, you shall not take anything for yourself. You cannot take anything back. You cannot take anything home. You must destroy everything. The only thing you can take is bring it to the temple, to the tabernacle, the place where you worship. You can bring some things there, but not for you yourself. And so they went to little Ai, and they were defeated. 3,000 men were defeated. 36 lost their lives. And now here, look at it in verse 6 of Joshua 7. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelled on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their back before their enemies? Verse 10, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man, and it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Sarhites, and he brought the family of the Sarhites man by man, and Zaphtai was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zaphtai, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. And tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodlish Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with them, with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire, and they that stoned them after they had stoned them with stones. Achan was left there, left behind. My friends, that is what God feels about hidden sin. That's how God feels about hidden sin. You know, God spoke to me when I read this. I remember the time that I read this, one of the first times. It just made such an impression on me. That is how God feels about sin. That's how he feels about hidden sin. We're not talking just about sin. We talked about sin the other night. We're talking about hiding sin. Hiding sin. God said, Joshua, you're defeated. The church is defeated. The children of God are defeated. He fell on his face. You know, sometimes I wonder, I don't know how many ministers are here tonight, but let me just tell you, I think sometimes what we need to do when there is defeat in the church, you know, what we want to do is we want to get committees in and we want to deal with things. You know what? He didn't call a committee. You know what he did? He fell on his face before God. He afflicted his soul. And he, according to the word of God, he fasted. And he sought God. God, what is wrong? Something is wrong here. What is wrong in our church? You know what God said? Joshua, get up off your face. There is sin in the camp. Go and deal with it. Go make a lot. Find out who it is. There's someone of the brethren in your congregation, in your church. There's someone that is sin. I wonder what Achan thought. I wonder what he thought. I don't know what Achan thought, but Achan may have thought, what a blessing it is. You know, now he might have been a poor man. He might have been a man that didn't have much. He might have been a man that was cold. It might have been the cold and had no coat. And he thought, oh, now I have a coat. At least I can be warm. You know, surely God will understand. God will understand. He would want me to be warm too. And my family is poor. I don't have much to feed my family, my children. They don't have much like other people. They're poor. God understands if I take this silver and this gold. But you know, God said, don't take it. Don't take it for yourself. And he disobeyed. Maybe that's what he thought. I don't know. But God said, Achan must be stoned, his wife, his children, his sons, his daughters, his sheep, his oxen, his donkeys, his tent, the Babylonish garment, the silver, the gold. I want you to take it all, everything. Look at that scene. Tonight I want you to look at that scene. There he goes. Look at Achan. Achan and his family. I don't know how old the children were. I'm guessing they might have been young. There goes Achan and his wife clinging to each other. And the whole group of God's people, Joshua, they're behind him and they're taking him down to the valley. There they go, Joshua or Achan and his wife and the little children. And no doubt those children had seen before what happens when you hide sin, when you have sin. They might have seen the stones flying before. Some of their good friends might have been killed before. And there they go. And I can just see Achan's wife saying, "Honey, why did you do it? Why didn't you confess? Why did you do this?" There they go, the little children. Finally they get to the valley. There they are in the valley. And there they are in a little huddle, and I can see the little children trying to hide between mommy and daddy, up between their legs. And the stones start flying, and Achan gets hit, and blood starts coming, and then his wife gets hit, and blood is flowing, and finally they fall over, and the little children are trying to hide between mom and dad. And finally those little children are killed with all the stones that are flying. All of a sudden, the whole family is lying on a heap. There they are. Look at them. Friends, tonight, that's the price to pay for hidden sin. There they are, all on a heap. Joshua said, "Bring the oil." And they pour oil over that whole family. And he lights a fire and they burns them after they're dead. He burns them. You know why God said burn them? He didn't want no trace of hidden sin. There was no trace anymore. That's how God feels about hidden sin. That's God's view of hidden sin tonight. You know, God really spoke to me. If I have hidden sin in my life, I'm going to affect my family. It's going to affect my wife. It's going to affect my children. It's going to affect the church. One hidden sin, look at it. It was only, and it looked very small. It was a disobedience. It looked very small. But it defeated the whole congregation. It defeated all of God's people there. They could not fight anymore. They could not have victory anymore. And there they are. There they are. What a price to pay for hidden sin. I believe if I have sin in my heart, and I was really searching God today. You know, I want to tell you this, brothers and sisters. Thank you for allowing me to come and preach. Because whenever I preach, I'm just so convicted and so moved in my own heart. It has given me such a conviction again today, tonight, and as today as I was studying about my sharpness about hidden sin and how I must be very careful and I must be very open and very honest and I must never hide any sin. You know, we think no one knows it. We think everything is hidden. But it's not. One hidden sin in the life of a believer defeats a congregation. How would you feel tonight if the Spirit of God would have told me today, "I want you to have a lot tonight"? We get our songbooks and we put a paper in there and we line those songbooks up here, and every one of us here would come and get a book, and then we would come and open that book. How would you feel about that? Would there be any reason for you to think that maybe it's me? Well, God didn't tell me that, to do that. Are the dogs barking tonight? Are any dogs barking tonight? Let me tell you why. I want to, in closing, tell you a story. Why this is heavy on my heart. When the dogs bark. There was a sister in a conservative Mennonite church that told me the story about her father, who was also in that church. And this is the story. She said, my father had a heart attack. And he was lying there on the pavement. And as he lay there, it seemed like his spirit left him. And he said he started going up. And he went into a darkness. It was dark. And he kept on going. And all of a sudden, he said he saw in a distance a light. And as he kept on going, he moved towards that light. And finally, he got closer and closer. And then he saw the city. He saw the beautiful city, the beautiful heaven. Oh, and he thought, I'm going to be home. And he got up and he got closer and he was almost at the gate. And just as he was ready to head into the gate, all of a sudden a shining being came flying around and came up in front of him and waved his hand and said, no, 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 you cannot enter here. You cannot enter here. Oh, he said, you have malice in your heart. There's things hidden in your heart. You cannot enter here. Oh, he got down on his knees in front of that shining being and he said, please let me in. No, you cannot enter. You cannot enter. Your heart is not right. You know there's things hidden in your heart. Oh, and in his begging and in his pleading, he woke up and he was in the emergency room of the hospital. Pretty soon his children came. And he said to the children, he said, you know what? I was right at the gate. I thought I was home. I thought I was in heaven. And there's someone that came and told me I cannot enter. I can't go in here. And I know what it is. It's that brother in the church. Please, please go tell him to come quickly. They went and they got this brother. And by the time he came, he was in ICU. And they let him get in, they let him come in. And he said, brother, I've had a hatred in my heart. I've had unforgiveness towards you. I've been bitter towards you. I've been jealous. There's been malice in my heart. And I'm here. I was at the gate of heaven and I couldn't get in. Can you forgive me? I want to confess. The brother forgave him. He asked God to forgive him. He pled with God. He healed up. He went home. A couple months later, he had another heart attack. And he left, and he never came back. Now, brothers and sisters, that's why this is heavy on my heart. Could it be that some of us would get so close and then the door would be closed? No, you cannot enter here. My friends, if the dog is barking tonight, that's the indication that you will see the waving of hands and the door won't open for us. May God set us free tonight. Let's pray. God in heaven, we come to you with a burden on our heart for our own soul, O God. We know that when we get to heaven, you are the one that has the key to that place. And God in heaven tonight, I pray that you would help us to confess our sins. You are so faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to clean us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I pray tonight that you would let the dogs loose, Lord, in our life. And God, I pray that they would be loud and they would be barking and they would keep barking tonight. And keep barking until you come and shut the dogs down by your forgiveness and your grace and your blood and your mercy. Oh, Jesus, tonight I pray for all of us. I pray that you would help us Lord, maybe there are those here that never knew you, those that have not made a commitment. The dog has been barking all week. Oh, God in heaven tonight, would you again allow us the grace to have the dogs bark so that we can prepare our hearts for eternity. Lord Jesus, I pray, meet our needs and set us free. Bless us, oh God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for us to just have our heads bowed and be in prayer.